the Memorare. Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to your protection, implored your help, or sought your intercession was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, I fly to you, O Virgin of Virgins, my Mother. To you I come, before you I stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word Incarnate, despise not my petitions, but in your mercy, hear and answer me. Amen.
All across the Gulf South,
it's 7 a.m.
Time to wake up
on Catholic Community Media.
Good morning. You're listening to Wake Up on this beautiful Tuesday morning. We're so glad that you are tuning your heart to the truth with us today. I'm Gabby Smith, along with Damian Clotto and David Dawson. Hey, guys. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Dave, you just know, ran in here.
Yeah, get adjusted there, Dave.
Yes,
there
you go.
We're going live any minute.
Wow, that was interesting. Okay,
well, I'm good. Here. Thank you. He got his T's happy now. Look at that. He's all grinning like a possum in a pea patch.
Oh, let me catch my breath.
Yeah. Oh, okay. All right, here we go. Well, today's the feast day of St. Dominic, and we're going to offer up a prayer and ask him to intercede for us in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. May God the Father who made us bless us. May God the Son who has healed us and be among us. May God the Holy Spirit move within us and give us eyes to see with, ears to hear with, and hands that your work might be done. May we walk and preach the word of God to all. May the angel of peace watch over us and lead us at last by God's grace to the kingdom. Amen.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
St. Dominic.
Pray for us. Yeah.
Yes, indeed.
Yes. Well, today's a big feast day for the Dominicans, I'm sure. Mm-hmm. But one of my favorite churches actually happens to be in Houston, Texas. It's run by the Dominicans, and it's Most Holy Rosary. It's an absolute beautiful church, kind of like nestled downtown. Uh-huh. I love it. It's gorgeous, and every time I go there to visit family, I love going to Most Holy Rosary and attending Mass there. Yeah. So today's our feast day. So St. Dominic, pray for us. Mm-hmm. We have a wonderful show for you today, starting off with some events in our listening area we will give you details about. That is coming up in 9 minutes. In 18 minutes, Claire Willis joins us. She's the assistant to the superintendent of Catholic schools for the Diocese of Baton Rouge. And you guessed it, we're talking back to school. We've been doing it for a while because everyone in our listening area starts at different times.
Yeah.
So I know that the Diocese of Biloxi started a few days ago. And then when does Baton Rouge start? Soon?
This week, but it's staggered throughout this week is what I'm finding out.
Yeah.
You know, some people
and the Archdiocese
start Thursday, I think, as late as Thursday. So.
Yeah, mm-hmm. So all different times. So we're talking back to school over in the Diocese of Baton Rouge. In 35 minutes, author Paul Kenger joins us. He's going to be talking about his book called The Worst of Indignities, The Catholic Church on Slavery. And in 48 minutes, Matt Estrada joins us. He's a founder of Catholic Aging and author of his book, The Peace with Dementia Rosary. Looking forward to getting an update from Matt and hearing that conversation between him and Damian. So looking forward to wonderful guests today and looking forward to, I guess, another weather report. It's the same as yesterday, Damian. I don't know what to tell you.
Today could be a day you might see some rain. We have a 30% chance in the forecast.
All right.
So we have a little hope there to get wet. Winds west-southwest at 5 to 10. The high will be close to 100 degrees, so you can expect the sauna-like temperatures to continue. Tomorrow we'll see a few more clouds, but rain is really unlikely. You'll also see winds picking up tomorrow around 10 to 20 miles an hour. So you'll have a nice hot breeze.
Yes, convection.
Enjoy.
Convection oven.
There you go.
Bacon
temperatures everywhere right now in the 80s. Bay St. Louis, it's 84. Covington and home of Thibodeau, it's 81. In New Orleans, 85. And in Baton Rouge, the capital city, it's 83. Also want to give a big shout out to my son-in-law, Dave Guidry, firefighter in Lafayette. Happy birthday, brother. Okay,
happy
folks.
Birthday.
It's 5 after the hour. It's Tuesday. It's Wake Up.
A good Tuesday to you. I'm Father Chris Decker with today's Gospel. Jesus made the disciples get into a boat and precede him to the other side of the sea while he dismissed the crowds. After doing so, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. When it was evening, he was there alone. Meanwhile, the boat, already a few miles offshore, was being tossed about by the waves, for the wind was against it. During the fourth watch of the night, he came toward them walking on the sea. When the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified. "It is a ghost," they said, and they cried out in fear. At once Jesus spoke to them, "Take courage, it is I. Do not be afraid." Peter said to him in reply, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." He said, "Come." Peter got out of the boat and began to walk on the water toward Jesus. But when he saw how strong the wind was, he became frightened, and beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him, and said to him, "O you of little faith, why did you doubt?" After they got into the boat, the wind died down. Those who were in the boat did him homage, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." After making the crossing, they came to land at Gennesaret. When the men of that place recognized him, they sent word to all the surrounding country. People brought to him all those who were sick and begged him that they might touch only the tassel on his cloak, and as many as touched it were healed. We've heard the gospel, and now we reflect.
The Greek word translated as tossed about by the waves literally means harassed or tortured. It is the same word the centurion used when he described his servant was suffering terribly. It aptly depicts the apostles paralyzed by fear and unbelief. We can almost hear them scream like helpless children when they first saw Jesus. "Oh, it is a ghost!" Drawing on his vivid memory of this incident, Matthew paints an eerie scene of their profound sense of loss, disorientation, and visceral fear occasioned by the dark powers of the elements in Jesus' absence. The wind is given a kind of personification representing evil forces that torture the vessel and its occupants. This personification is carried to the end, for when the text says, "the wind died down," the literal translation is, "the wind grew weary." The turbulent water of the lake, personifying evil, battles with Jesus over the disciples, who are viewed as the helpless prey of the wind and the waves. The disciples' primal fear and the representative forces of evil that threaten them for about 10 or 12 hours is easily overcome when Jesus comes to their rescue, walking on the raging water. This depiction of Jesus trampling on the waves represents his domination of nature. He is the Lord, for truly he is the Son of God. It is often the case that Jesus saves us when the battle seems lost. When every other possibility and maneuver of hope is exhausted, the power of Jesus comes to our rescue. We cannot avoid this law of the spiritual life. Then in the order to come to the point where we can finally abandon ourselves totally to God, we must first experience what appears to be an utter abandonment by God. Then we feel the darkness of the night. Disorientated and feeling terribly alone, we must say, "Jesus, I trust in you." Then it is acceptable to cry out, "Lord, save me." We feel alone, but Jesus is merely hiding from sight while his strength sustains and protects us. Have a wonderful day. This is Jimmy Sagers.
Thank you, Jimmy. Thank you, Father Chris. And thank you all for tuning in to Catholic Community Radio and tuning your heart to the truth. We have some events we want to share with you right now. The annual convocation celebrating catechist will be held at Sacred Heart Catholic Church in Baton Rouge on August 26th from 9 a.m. until noon. All those who have been or had a hand in faith no matter which way, are invited to attend. We're talking priests, deacons, religious sisters, mm-hmm. parish catechists, school religious, as well as teachers, parents, and volunteers. You're all welcome, and you may want to attend because Dr. Brant Petrie, along with Father Joshua Johnson, will be making presentations during the three-hour event. And it's all part of the Diocese of Baton Rouge's Eucharistic Revival. If you want more information, just go to ccmedia.live for details.
That's going to be powerful.
Yes.
What
speakers? And we're going to have a table there.
Yes,
so
we are. Come we'll, see
Catholic
us.
Community Media will be there mm-hmm. passing out free stuff.
There you go.
Stop by.
The Notre Dame Seminary community is blessed to be celebrating 100 years of forming men for the priesthood. 100 years, Damien.
There you go. Full century.
Yeah, they're inviting you to join them at the 100th anniversary Rector's Dinner on Thursday, September the 14th at the Roosevelt Hotel. The Rector's Dinner is an occasion for the community to celebrate with benefactors, alumni, and friends of the seminary. And they'll be recognizing generous benefactors who've been instrumental in the growth of and success of Notre Dame Seminary for over the years. And these year's honorees are Ms. Gail Benson and Mr. and Mrs. Joseph Canizero and Mr. and Mrs. Frank Stewart and Miss Phyllis Taylor. Boy, you talk about wise investments. Look what they're investing mm-hmm. in, right? You
know? Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that's September 14th,
definitely.
Thursday, and that's at the Roosevelt Hotel. So for more info, just go to ccmedia.live.
Yes, a young women's retreat entitled Come to the Water will be held on September 22nd to the 24th at the Shrine of Our Lady of Hope in Mississippi. This retreat is for women 21 and older, and during the three-day event, you will hear talks from Father Josh Johnson, Father Jerry Daniel, Father Reuben Dykes, and Catholic speaker Casey Spreehy. The cost is $325 for the retreat. For more information, you can go to ccmedia.live.
All right, the St. John Paul II Foundation will be hosting their annual Healthcare Ethics Conference entitled Converging Roads. It's going to be August 26th at the Tracy Center in Baton Rouge in collaboration with the Diocese of Baton Rouge and Franciscan Missionaries of Our Lady Health System. The one-day conference begins at 9:15, but there's going to be a Mass at 8 a.m. to kick things off, and it'll be celebrated by Bishop Michael Duca. And those attending will be able to also obtain CE credits for the various presentations that will be given during the day. This year's theme at the healthcare conference is Care at the Service of Human Dignity. Wow. For more information on the talks as well as who will be guest speakers, just go to our website.
Okay. Good deal.
There you go. We've got more events. If you want, just go to ccmedia.live. You'll see and click on the calendar, and you'll see everything you need to see, not only today, but for days and weeks ahead. It's 15 after. You're listening to Wake Up.
This is Franciscan Media's Saint of the Day for August 8th. Today we celebrate Saint Dominic. Today's saint was known for his preaching skills, but Dominic didn't always rely on words to get a point across. In the early 13th century, Father Dominic was commissioned to be part of the Church's preaching crusade against the Albigensian heresy. Its many followers regarded created matter as evil. Their idea of perfection called for a very strict diet and abstinence from sexual intimacy. Though extreme, their beliefs and values were popular because they provided such a great contrast to the corrupt lifestyle of most of the clergy. To reach the people, Dominic adopted an austere lifestyle, traveling barefoot as he preached from place to place. After 10 years of continuous preaching, he was successful in reclaiming ordinary people to Catholicism, though not the Albigensian leaders. The order of preachers began when Dominic founded a religious house at Toulouse, France, where he and his fellow preachers gradually became a community. In 1221, Dominic died shortly after delivering his final sermon to the Dominican Brothers. He was canonized 13 years later. There's more about the saints along with inspiration and Catholic resources at our website, saintoftheday.org. From Franciscan Media, this has been Saint of the Day.
It is 19 past the hour. You are tuning your heart to the truth on Wake Up. I'm Gabby Smith, along with Damian Collado and David Dawson. Our first guest today is Claire Willis. Claire is the assistant to the superintendent of Catholic schools in the Diocese of Baton Rouge, and today we are talking back to school. Oh, good morning, Claire. Thank you for being with us today.
Absolutely.
Good morning.
Might as well get back into the habit of getting up early.
You know, we're back into the routine of things, or we're about to start, depending on where you are, where you're living.
That's right.
Already this morning, I'm like, don't forget your lunchbox. Don't forget to brush your hair. Don't forget, you know, all of this stuff. Don't forget to turn this in on the first day, that summer reading book report. It's a lot for parents. But Claire, how is the diocese preparing for going back to school?
Sure. So we, you know, we spent some time over the summer really reflecting on the successes and the challenges of the previous years, what we do every summer. And so we're working to really renew our commitment to connections. That, you know, connecting to parents, making sure that our lines of communication are really clear and open, connecting to students, making sure those classrooms are warm and welcoming and a place where students feel like they truly belong. And then connecting, you know, how we make sure that students are really connecting with content whenever they come in and they're starting to learn, that they can make those connections, because that's how we know true learning takes place. And so, you know, you're going to see lots of happy, excited teachers and bright, sunny classrooms as they're heading back in the next couple of days. We've had some schools already start, and they're kind of staggering in over the next couple of days as we start those new school years. So, but everybody's really in great spirits. That time of renewal over the summer really gave everyone an opportunity to be excited and committed back to this mission and ministry of Catholic education that we get to be a part of.
So when is the first day in the diocese?
So we actually don't have a single first day for all of our diocesan schools, because we have so many schools. We actually are in 8 or 9 actual school districts, if you count Central Community School. One of our schools is there too. And so we actually encourage our schools to follow the calendar as closely as possible to the local school district where they reside. So that way, when, especially for our schools that use school buses, it minimizes the amount of days where families might be without transportation. So a lot of our schools here in East Baton Rouge Parish are starting school tomorrow, but some of them did opt to start a little bit earlier, as early as yesterday. And actually, if you're just curious, we have all of that information, all of our first days of school listed out on our website at the Catholic Schools Office.
I think I know Claire, some that are actually starting on Thursday. So, So I think, Claire, what you meant when you said folks are, you know, the students are staggering in, you didn't mean that literally. You meant just the alternative days that they're coming in, I hope.
That is true, although many of our schools do something called a staggered start for their little bitties. So pre-K and kindergarten students will actually do a stagger, meaning half of the kindergarten class may start on one day, the second half starts on the next day, and then they're all together on the third day of school. And that just allows the teachers a little more time to really welcome in students who may be entering their first day of, quote, you know, real school, to give them a chance to acclimate, learn the routines and procedures. The teachers get to know those kids a little better, give the parents some time to adjust to the new routines too. And so you'll see that as a pretty typical procedure we do in our schools.
Make it easy. That's right. Or easier.
Yes. Yeah.
Easier. It's never truly easy to let those babies go. But, you know, hopefully, again, they feel like our schools are ready for them and are doing the right things, what they would do as a parent as well.
Right. Right.
Well, and it can be overwhelming too, I think, for both sides, when the teachers are like, oh, wait, I need this. And of course, we want to help as much as possible, so, and make sure that our children are prepared. Claire, one of the things that I've been hearing a lot this summer, I got a chance to talk to while I was out of town. I met a lot of people from across the country. We were all at the same place, and hearing how it was in their school district during the pandemic and post-pandemic. Mm-hmm. And it's actually quite interesting and a little weird to hear how they went through schooling and how they're coming out of that, and test scores and how things are going as we continue to come out of the pandemic. You know, we're starting another school year. How is the Diocese of Baton Rouge helping those students who are maybe struggling a little bit, or getting students back on track with test scores and learning and just where they need to be?
Absolutely. When I spoke about that time of reflection over the summer, that included looking at our test score data. And so every school actually over the past couple of weeks has been meeting with a data analyst to look at those test scores. That's we utilize the Terra Nova Next instrument. It's just one of our standardized test options to really look and see where our students are. We are super fortunate that most of our schools did not demonstrate that kind of gap or slide that many schools across the country experienced due to the pandemic. So most of our schools are right on target with either where they were before or even have shown growth since then. And so that's excellent news. It's also a testament to how hard our schools in the Baton Rouge Diocese worked to reopen in person as quickly as possible when it was safe to do so during the ongoing pandemic. And so last year was essentially a, you know, normal, whatever that means, school year for our students and families in that it felt a little more familiar procedures and routines. That being said, we are seeing what some of the bigger challenges have been are not so much in academic achievement as they are in just some different responses to like social emotional readiness for school, especially our, you know, little bits who spent a couple of years really homebound and using computer screen to learn how to interact with people and with their classes. If they're adjusting to the social expectations a little bit differently, and that goes all the way through middle and high school, as we're having just to adapt our children to better manage just the challenges of life. And so we're seeing an uptick in some just mental health issues that are coming across all schools, all ages. Mm-hmm. So that's a real focus for us this school year, is ensuring that we have adequate resources to really attend to those needs of our children, but also equipping everyone who works with our youth to know how to kind of recognize some of the things that may be different than like typical childhood development behavior, and so that we can address that quickly before it becomes something of a greater concern.
That's great news to hear. And of course, at the end of last school year, I saw a few articles that there was an increase in enrollment in Catholic schools across the country because of the continuation of staying open and the continuation of learning and how they're focusing on children, and how that hasn't really wavered as far as test scores and everything like that. So I think the main thing was being attentive to the students and not saying, here, do this, here, do that, and then call it a day, or passing everyone, even though some kids weren't ready to be passed for that grade level. So thank you so much for that, Claire. One more thing. Why should parents attend Catholic schools? There's so many choices in the Diocese of Baton Rouge. To attend a Catholic school, I went to Our Lady of Mercy in Baton Rouge, had the most amazing time. I really enjoyed myself there. Why should parents send their children to Catholic school?
You know, it's really about the family partnership, the faith-based values that we use to guide all of our decision-making. We are here to recognize that parents are the primary educators of our children, and we are providing them a safe, healthy, and faithful environment for them to grow in their, not just their learning, but their whole child development. And so parents can really know when they're sending a child to Catholic school that they're going to be surrounded by people who share the same values of, you know, wanting what's best for the children, who are teaching as Jesus did, who are just surrounding their children with love and care. They're doing it in a safe environment, and we're still committed to academic excellence even with all of that. So it's, you know, it's not all kumbaya. We're making sure that they're really ready for next steps in life too. And so it's the whole package. And we just have some really great people who work in our Catholic schools, and the families who attend are amazing as well.
Yep.
There are some really great Catholic schools in the Diocese of Baton Rouge. So highly encourage parents to take a look as well. Claire, where can people go to find out more information?
Sure. All information about all of our schools across the diocese can be found on our website, which is www.csobr.org. And that stands for Catholic Schools Office of Baton Rouge, csobr.org.
Thank you so much, Claire Willis, Assistant to the Superintendent of Catholic Schools in the Diocese of Baton Rouge. My goodness, I'm losing my voice. Thank you for being with us.
Always a pleasure. Thank you guys so much. Have a great day.
You too.
All right. Yep. Getting back to school.
And yeah, they got a lot of work on their hands. And really, no, you're absolutely right. You got to be patient as a parent, I'm sure, because, you know, the bus routes are all messed up right now. It takes a while for that.
You think
to
so?
Settle in. Oh, I know so. Oh, yeah. And it's not Nakata, but they have different places they have to go. And then they have to determine how many kids are on each bus. And so that gets all consolidated. Mm-hmm. And it takes a good week or two to settle in.
Patience, you
know?
Too.
Yeah. It's been a while. So I don't know.
And those car lines. Oh, yeah. Yes. Don't get me started on
car
those.
Lines.
Now, those I'm familiar with.
For the next week or two, they're going to be a little long.
Yeah.
You know, and just be patient with yourself. If there needs to be something else that your child needs to turn in for the week, just be patient. Sometimes, you know, because it's adding more to the plate. We're so used to summer and relaxing.
And just turn on your radio and listen to us. Boom.
We're all in this together, right?
Yeah. Yeah. We got your back.
Well, I hope you have a wonderful first day of school or first week at school, kids, parents.
Yep.
We're here with you on the same boat, so we're praying for you as well. Teachers as well, thank you for all that you do for our children and our students. Paul Kenger joins us when we return from the break. It is 6:30 on Wake Up.
Hour. I'm David Dawson along with Damian Collado. And Gabby Smith, you're tuning your heart to the truth on Wake Up. And right now we have Paul Kenger, a Catholic author, and he's talking about his book, The Worst of Indignities, The Catholic Church on Slavery. I just got the book over my desk yesterday, and I'm skimming it. I am fascinated. Good morning, Paul.
Hi, David. How are you?
I am. This is a very, very interesting book, and I thought it was going to really just make me feel all guilty and such, but it's amazing at what the Catholic Church has always done throughout history about slavery. Talk about that.
Yeah, well, reading this, you should no longer feel guilty.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, you should really be quite proud of your church, because your church has been condemning slavery. Probably contrary to public perception of our church, right?
Yeah, right, right.
But has been condemning slavery longer and more consistently, more beautifully, more profoundly than any other institution on the planet. I mean, you know, the Brits get credit before us for abolishing slavery, right?
Rightly,
so, with William Wilberforce, 1835, but I could take you back 400 years before that, 1435, to Pope Eugene IV, with Sicut Dudum, condemning slavery of black Indians in the Canary Islands.
Right, right.
And so we've got all these papal statements, we've got all these witnesses from popes and saints and entire orders created in the 1100s,
right?
Just to stop slavery. It's a great story, and sadly Catholics don't know about it at all.
That's why I think this is a fascinating book, and I think it should be read, because there's a lot of history that we don't know, or that's overlooked, and of course nowadays, hate to say it, being changed. But seeing what the Catholic Church has done, and you were talking about the 1400s, and you know, not only did they just condemn it, if you were a slave owner, you were excommunicated. Is that right?
Yeah, and it's amazing.
Yeah.
It was really amazing to see that. And in fact, David, I'm wondering if the word reparations, right, which we use today, so the church actually used the word reparation.
No.
And by the way, it shouldn't surprise us, right, because we go to confession and then we do reparation for our sins.
Mm-hmm.
But the church was talking about not only excommunication of slave owners, and this said kings and princes and everyone who owns slaves, right? The church was saying that in the 1500s. The church was even calling for reparations to be made directly to slaves.
Way back then.
By these slave owners.
That's right.
Yeah, yeah, way
That's
back
right.
then. So you know, it's controversial in America today, and yeah, rightly so. I mean, the year 2023, I mean, the only connection I have to slavery was on my father's side and the Flynn family out of West Virginia who fought for the Union. Right?
Yeah.
And then my mother's side in Italy, you know, they were under threat at that time from Muslim slave traders and Barbary pirates, right? So it doesn't make any sense for me today to pay reparations.
Right.
But in the 1500s, if you owned slaves and your church was telling them, you let them go right now, or you're going to be excommunicated, and pay them reparations. Well, that makes sense.
Right. Yes.
That's the direct offense by the person who committed the sin.
Right.
And the church called it a sin, and said as early as Pope Paul III, 1537, he said, who created this idea of slavery, this institution of slavery? He said, the answer is easy. It's Satan.
Right.
This comes from the devil himself.
Right.
So that's how our church condemned it.
Right, because, in a nutshell, it is the worst of indignities, owning another soul or thinking that you own another soul. And then you talk about, as far as the Civil War goes, look what America did. Look how many people died to abolish slavery, right?
It's amazing.
Yeah.
I quote Thomas Sowell quite a bit, and he's a well-known Black American author, columnist, and he says, the unique thing about America is not that we had slavery, because as I show in this book, right, almost every country and culture did. But that we abolished it in the most horrific way.
I mean,
we fought a civil war where 600,000 to 700,000 American boys died.
Yeah.
Okay. Now that is more than the total of all the boys and women who died in all wars in American history.
Wow.
Combined.
Wow.
World War I, World War II, Vietnam, Korea, add them all up.
And
you're still not at the total number of the Civil War. And 600,000 to 700,000, we lost about 300,000 dead in World War II.
Mm-hmm.
And 600,000, that's out of a population in the 1860s of only about 30 million.
Right.
So everybody knew somebody who died in the Civil War.
Right.
And that's what we went through, largely, white American boys killing white American boys.
Yeah.
Over this issue.
Right.
Yeah.
So we
suffered.
Right. And now your book, we're talking about just a few sections of your book here, but at the same time, you're talking about the saints and martyrs who were slaves. And then we go to the modern slaves, the saints who were martyred, the saints who were slaves. You got Venerable Pierre Toussaint, you've got Venerable Augustus Tolton, and then Saint Josephine Bakita. She lived all the way until 1947. So they have their stories in your book as well. But now, this is something that didn't just go away in the Civil War. We're talking the United States, and I think the United States has done more to get rid of slavery. But this is something that's going on all over the world right now, right?
Yeah, it is. And by the way, even after the Civil War, American Indian tribes, the so-called five civilized tribes, the Cherokee, the Choctaw, they were still owning Black African slaves.
Oh, wow.
And this is something that doesn't get talked about today when they're purging Columbus Day and they want to replace it with Indigenous Peoples Day.
Right.
And I find myself saying,
for that reason,
wait a second, guys.
That's ironic.
The Indigenous Peoples owed slaves.
Yeah.
In fact, there are still to this day lawsuits by Black Americans who are descendants of those slaves toward those American Indian tribes.
Wow.
And this doesn't even get talked about.
No, yeah, I did not even know that.
And a number of the tribes fought on the side of the Confederacy in order to preserve slavery. So that doesn't get talked about. But fast forwarding to today, there are groups out there with names like Free the Slaves that claim that there are more people held as slaves in human bondage today than at any time in all of history. The numbers like 26 million to 40 million. Now, those numbers aren't all like, today. Those slaves aren't all comparable to, the worst of what we saw with packing human beings on slave ships sardines and but there's still what we call traditional kind of chattel slavery, and there's sex trafficking. That's what the movie Sound of Freedom is all about. Pope Francis has probably condemned slavery more than any pope ever, because he's always talking about human trafficking. And even in countries like or groups like ISIS, they're doing modern day, everything, you name it, slavery, capturing young girls, turning them into sex slaves, mm-hmm. capturing boys, turning them into basically modern day Janissaries to convert to Islam and fight Christians.
Right.
Even in the Sudan, it's still going on in parts of West Africa today.
So, I mean, you're right. Kidnapping young men, turning them into soldiers, it's the same thing, too. I mean, because there's no, that's forcing them into doing something that is probably, they don't know, it could be against their will, but that's a form of slavery too? Is that what you're saying?
It is, yeah. And I mean, these kids, they were captured by ISIS, by the way, other groups too, like Boko Haram and others. Yeah. And they're captured as like wartime booty, which Muslims have been doing this for 1400 years.
Well, Paul, this book, and yeah, I'm afraid we're out of time, but this is fascinating. I'm looking forward to delving deeper into it. Where can they get your book real quick?
Yeah, thanks. Just go to Amazon and type in The Worst of Indignities, The Catholic Church on Slavery.
Paul Kanger, thank you so much for joining us.
All right, sure, David. Uh-huh. Anytime, thanks.
All right, when we come back, Damien's going to be talking to Matt Estrad at 45 past the hour on Wake Up.
Good morning again, and welcome back to Wake Up. Happy Tuesday, everyone. It is 12 minutes before the top of the hour. And before we wrap up this program this morning, we're going to chat with our good friend Matt Estrad, who is founder of Catholic Aging and author of the Peace with Dementia Rosary book. Many people have gotten, including autographed copies, if you get to see Matt in person. And good morning, Matt.
Good morning, Damien. How are you?
I'm doing great. Before we jump into today's topic, which, by the way, folks, we're going to talk about the sandwich generation. I'm not talking about you who go to Subways or Jersey Mike's. Nope. It's not about that.
Oh.
It's about the fact that those folks who are having to care for elderly parents and their own children at the same time.
Oh, wow.
But before we jump into that, Matt, I want to give your plug out real quick. Since today is the feast day of St. Dominic, you're going to be speaking at St. Dominic in New Orleans, aren't you?
That's right. Yeah, Wednesday, September 20. Please save the date. I'll be there speaking. We'll start at 7 o'clock, and then it'll be a talk. There'll be some Q&A afterwards, and then a book signing, and probably some more Q&A. And I'll stay there as long as people have questions for me. So really looking forward to that. Yeah, so Wednesday, September 20 at St. Dominic in Lakeview.
All right, very good. And today's topic, let's jump right into it. Some research recently showing that close to 75% of caregivers spend about 3 hours a day of unpaid care for their elderly parents, and in many cases, even though they have children they have to take care of. And that's 21 hours a week on top of their 40-hour work week.
Gosh.
And you and I both know that this is very hard to continue for any length of time without getting stressed.
It is. And you and many of your listeners may be familiar with the book, the very popular book, probably the best-selling book on Alzheimer's, called The 36-Hour Day.
Yep. I used to. I'm with you. That book is instrumental. Anybody dealing with that, get that book. Hmm. Yes.
Okay.
So you have, one hand you have 36-hour day, the other hand you have the Peace with Dementia Rosary. So
yes.
Two companion books. But the statistics that you noted are exactly why the book is called The 36-Hour Day, because they're trying to do 24 hours worth of work, including sleeping. We're trying to do 36 hours of labor in 24-hour periods. So, it's so challenging with some of those that are in the sandwich generation are still working. Mm-hmm. So it's not just caring for parents, caring for children, but they might be working as well. So it's something that's not sustainable. And I hope that everyone out there, if they find themselves in that situation or any caregiving situation, is, taking care of themselves, meaning their doctor's appointments and asking for help and, telling people you need help and attending support groups.
Yeah. I was part of that 17 years ago when my dad had Alzheimer's, and my wife and I were not only taking care of our own children, but we were having to take care of my dad as well. And boy, it was grueling. And it wears on you in a lot of ways, okay, because you there's the economic burden that goes along with it. Because believe me, eventually you have to find care for that individual when you're not there. There's extra time that you spend in the caregiving process for your loved one. The sacrifice of retirement, as well as your savings. All that starts to dwindle. And that's why you have to kind of keep working, to say the least. And on top of that, the emotional stress. So how does one get help? Because you that's the key. Don't be afraid to ask for help. If you have a local Alzheimer's services in your area, but more importantly in the New Orleans area, you've got Matt Estrade. And Matt, you even have a special area to go to on your website for people to get help.
Yeah. Less than 12 hours ago, we added a button on the website that just says request help. And people can click that and just kind of fill out a very brief online form, and then you can indicate, you know, I'm looking for a support group, or I am looking for the local council on aging. And this could be locally here or anywhere. You can also click, you know, I'm interested in a one-on-one appointment, because those are interesting, because it helps people kind of do a level set and kind of, yeah, you know, kind of pause. I help people pause and figure out what's important. What are the different variables that they have to navigate on this journey? And then also, of course, access. You know, people can say, I'm interested in the videos. They'll get an automatic email of those. Same thing with articles. So it's automated, unless you want to interact with me personally. And I'm hoping that it's going to help people get some of the free education on the website a lot quicker, because you get an automatic email reply right back with certain links.
I can only imagine that button's going to get clicked a lot.
It will. Yeah. And Matt, I'm glad you put that up there, yes, because that is going to be critical for a lot of folks listening, because I can assure you the baby boomer generation and the one following them, they're in still in the sandwich generation to some degree, and having to deal with their parents, mm-hmm, as well as their children. Where, besides that, what else can they do? Because your book, you know, the Dementia Rosary, that to me gives the peace that one needs and helps deflate the stress aspect. Touch on that and how your book can impact an individual in that regard.
Yeah, thank you, Damien. So I like to think that the book helps to dispel a lot of myths out there. There's so many misconceptions about aging, about cognitive impairment, about how caregiving is supposed to be the worst thing, the worst season that you'll ever have in your life. And in the book, I try to break down complex concepts and sort of say, you know, hey, if you can get to a support group, or here's why to consider a support group, because you're going to be surrounded with other people on the same journey, sharing advice, sharing your wisdom. Talking about what is hospice care. There's a lot of misconceptions around that, a lot of fear around that. So I try to take a lot of really complex things, try to simplify them. And I find that when people can label things, this is even a psychological concept. When people can label or put a name to their problem or problems, they seem to start to see solutions, and you start to think logically, along with that, and just sort of help create a plan with things. So that's what I hope that it does. And it even has the bonus, or actually I would say the foundation of our Catholic faith, because it's got, as you know, it's got different prayer intentions in there. And, there are people who attempt to do this without faith, and I don't know how they do it. But I'm sure glad that, you know, I have that perspective, and I'm able to share that, not just the science, but with the faith aspect of this, because we can't do it without supernatural help. And that's where the rosary comes in for both us as caregivers and our loved ones. It's where our patron saints come in. So it's just you know, it's been a blessing to be able to publish it and see the fruit that comes with it.
Yes, so true. You need the power of prayer to help get you through it. I will say that 100%. Mm-hmm. Matt, where do they go? I'm sorry we're out of time, but where do they go if they want to get more and also go to that new site that you just created?
Yeah, so the easiest thing to remember is CatholicAging.com. And that'll take you to the Dementia Rosary and the request help button and the prayer wall and all that stuff.
All righty. Thank you so much. Matt Estrade, founder of Catholic Aging, and get more information from him 24/7 by going to his website, DementiaRosary.com.
What a service.
Thank you, buddy.
Yeah.
God all bless. Right.
Thank you.
Let's wrap up the show with a prayer to St. Dominic. God of truth, you gave your church a new light in the life and preaching of our Father Dominic. Give us the help we need to support our preaching by holy and simple lives. We ask this through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, Son, Amen. Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much for joining us. Have a wonderful Tuesday. God bless.
Wake Up is a production of Catholic Community Media.